Jack Random and Ruby Journey strode unhurriedly through the crowded corridors of the city council building, and people hurried to get out of their way. There was bad news in the air. Everyone could smell it, but no one knew what it was yet or where it might fall. They kept their heads down and hoped not to be noticed. Random and Ruby began to walk a little faster. They could sense something was wrong, and the closer they got to the council chamber, the more wrong it felt. It was barely morning when Random and Ruby received a call from the city council, demanding their attendance at once. Normally, Random would have told them what they could do with their demand, but something in the barely restrained panic filling the comm clerk's voice had convinced him this was something he and Ruby should see for themselves. The chamber door was guarded by four armed men, but they moved quickly aside as Random and Ruby approached. One even opened the door for them. Inside, Delilah and his people were standing together, staring unhappily at two large wooden crates on the floor before them. The crates looked perfectly ordinary, not at all threatening, but the counselors were looking at them as though they expected a Grendel to leap out at any moment. It was a measure of how upset they were that they looked at Random and Ruby with open relief. Delisle patted at his sweating forehead with a handkerchief and gestured at the crates with a hand that wasn't as steady as it might have been.
"These were waiting for us here in the chamber when we arrived for work this morning, along with a polite little note saying a present from Shub. Nothing else. We have no idea how they got here. Given our current level of security, this should be impossible. I can only assume there are traitors among my people, rebel sympathizers. We haven't dared open the crates. They make threatening noises if they're touched. They make equally threatening noises if we try and leave. We've been trapped in here with them for almost an hour."
"Typical Shub terror tactics."
Ruby studied the crates interestedly.
"Have you tried scanning the contents?"
"Yes. The interiors appear to be lined with something our scanners can't penetrate."
"Could be a bomb."
Ruby crouched down before the nearest crate and studied the lid with a professional eye.
No lock. No clasps, no obvious electronic countermeasures. Maybe it's a warning of some kind. If Shub just wanted us dead, these things would have gone off the moment Jack and I entered the room. I say we open the crates and see what happens."
"Sounds like a good plan to me. Ruby and I would probably survive a bomb anyway. But just in case, counselors, I suggest you retire to the far end of the room."
The counselors did so hastily, not bothering to take their dignity with them. Random crouched down beside Ruby.
"I don't think we'll encounter any booby traps. Shub wants us to see what's in these crates. Otherwise, they wouldn't have bothered with two. One would have been enough for a bomb, or any other terror weapon."
"Could contain some kind of fury. The crates are big enough for a smallish one. But why bother with a killing machine when a bomb would be just as effective?"
"Maybe it's something aimed specifically at us. Some new kind of Shub tech designed with us in mind."
"Maybe."
Ruby looked at Random and grinned.
"Want to toss over which one of us gets to open the first crate?"
"I'll open the first. You always cheat."
Random took a firm hold of the lid on the nearest crate and yanked it off. A puff of refrigerated air rose up, and Random and Ruby backed away quickly, but there was no other response from the crate. They moved cautiously forward and looked inside. A dead face with pure white skin flecked with frost looked up at them. The open eyes were frosted too. Random and Ruby looked at each other and then looked back in the crate. A human body had been wrapped around the interior walls of the crate like a snake. He'd been cut open from throat to groin, and his chest and abdomen were strangely flat. Ruby raised an eyebrow.
"Not what I was expecting, whatever that was. Anyone you know?"
"I don't think so. Why would Shub send us a dead man? And a carefully preserved one at that."
"And why arrange him like that? Okay, it was probably the only way to get him in the crate, but why not just use a bigger crate?"
Ruby reached in and grabbed a handful of the dead man's hair. She tried to pull him out, but the body barely budged, stuck with cold and frost to the interior walls. The frozen tissues gave out disturbing sounds as they were forcibly stretched. The long abdominal cut opened slowly like a mouth, and it was only then that Random and Ruby realized the body had been completely gutted. Everything inside the chest and abdomen had been removed.
"The cut's so precise it might have been made with a scalpel."
Ruby released her handful of hair. The head fell back against the crate wall. Ruby examined her hand. It was already covered with frost. The cold didn't bother her, and she looked back at the hollow man.
They really emptied him out, Jack. They didn't just take his guts. The bones are gone, too. No rib cage, no sternum. Even the collarbones are gone. But why send us an eviscerated dead man? Is this supposed to frighten us?
Maybe it's a warning of what they mean to do to us all. Kill us, empty us out, and make us into ghost warriors. Let's look in the other crate. Perhaps the answer's in there.
Ruby opened the second crate, waving aside the cold air that steamed up from inside, impatient to see what it contained. Then she wrinkled her nose and looked at Random.
You have got to see this, Jack. This is really disgusting.
Random leaned over the second crate. A set of human organs had been arranged neatly on the floor of the crate, pale pink and gray, and covered with shining frost. Carefully laid human bones kept them separate. The head had been wrapped in a pretty pink ribbon, tied in a bow. Ruby stared fascinatedly at the human remains.
What the hell is the point of this?
There's an envelope under the head.
Random reached in and carefully slid the paper out from under the solid organ. He studied the envelope carefully. The thick paper was permeated with frost crystals.
Interesting. It's addressed to us. Shub definitely knows we're here.
Open the damn thing!
Inside the envelope was a single sheet of paper with a set of printed instructions on it. Random unfolded it carefully, not wanting the brittle paper to crack apart in his hands. He studied the message in silence for some moments. Ruby pushed up beside him.
Well, what is it? What does it say?
It appears to be a set of instructions on how to put together a human in kit form. According to this, if you put the bones and organs back in the right order, close him up and thaw him out, the human should start functioning again.
Now that is just sick. That is too sick even for me.
Strange, too. I never knew Shub to show a sense of humor before. This is too human.
Ruby shook her head.
I'm still no wiser as to why they sent us this. It doesn't make any sense. Did they think this would frighten us?
Let's see what the counselors have to say.
He beckoned them over, and they returned to the crates, somewhat emboldened now that they hadn't exploded after all. Then they looked inside the crates. One of the counselors just made it to the door before being sick. Two others retreated to the far end of the room again and refused to come back. Bentley and Delisle stood their ground, though they were visibly upset.
I know this man. He volunteered to go alone and unarmed to try to negotiate a settlement with the rebel leaders. He used to be a friend and colleague of Terence Jacks, the ex-mayor. He thought their friendship would guarantee his safety. He should have known better. After everything they've done, I tried to warn him, but he believed some kind of deal was still possible, with goodwill on both sides.
The rebels did this? What the hell for?
To send us a message that they're not interested in negotiating. You can see now the nature of the foe we're dealing with. Don't be fooled into thinking of them as your old comrades. Shub is bad enough, but the rebels here are animals. This is just another of their attempts to undermine our morale. We have to keep this quiet. It mustn't go beyond this room. Do you agree, Sir Jack?
Yes. The people don't need to know about this. We'll just say the crates contain severed heads from the outer settlements. That's nasty enough to motivate them without sickening them too much. Dispose of all of this secretly. Better incinerate it.
I just had a thought. What if we followed the instructions and put the human together? Do you think he'd work? I mean, Shub knows a lot of things. He just might get up and start functioning again.
The counselor at the door lost what was left of his breakfast. The other counselors looked at Ruby with open revulsion. Random shook his head.
I don't think that's a road we should go down. Whatever we ended up with, you can be sure it wouldn't be human. Burn it, Delisle. Burn it all. And then scatter the ashes, just in case.
Things were relatively quiet after that. The rebels headed for Vidar in one great force, human and Shub, destroying and razing all settlements in their path. The storm winds kept blowing, but everyone knew the lull was coming, and with it, the final battle for Loki. Random and Ruby spent all their time struggling to turn Vidar's volunteer force into something like an army. There was no shortage of volunteers, but most didn't know one end of a sword from the other, and had never fired a gun in anger in their life. They were mostly tough enough and brave. The weak didn't last long in a hard mining world like Loki. But turning even the most willing volunteer into a trained soldier takes time, and everyone knew that time was running out. When the lull came, they would have to fight, whatever state they were in. So it was something of a surprise to everyone when Random excused himself from the training exercise on the second afternoon, left Ruby in charge, and disappeared on a mission of his own. Wrapped in a long cloak, with the hood pulled well down to conceal his features, Jack Random made his way through narrow, dirty streets into the really scummy part of Vidar. Every city has a part of town where the mostly respectable can come in secret, in search of the pleasures that may not have a name, but certainly have a price. A few local hard men thought to intercept Random on his way and relieve him of the weight of any valuables he might be burdened with, but a glimpse of energy gun was usually all it took to make them back down. Random finally reached his destination in the late afternoon, a broken-down drinking establishment that had probably looked sleazy and disreputable from the moment it opened. For a while, Random stood in the shadows on the other side of the street, making sure he hadn't been followed. He didn't think anyone could sneak up on him anymore, with all his powers, but old habits die hard. Nobody looked up when he finally walked into the gloomy bar. It was the kind of place where everyone was careful to mind their own business. There were no windows, and the lights were kept low to encourage confidentiality. There was an atmosphere of illegal smoke, cheap perfume, and general paranoia. Customers sat at rickety tables in twos and threes, talking business in lowered voices, pushing anonymous packages back and forth, or just sitting staring into drinks they didn't touch while they waited for their contacts to show up. There was no sawdust on the floor. Probably someone had stolen it. Random had spent a lot of time in the past meeting people in places like this, searching for the kind of answers that could only be found in such company. He spotted his contact, sitting well back in the shadows, and moved over to join him. Random polished the seat of his chair with a handkerchief before sitting down.
There had better be a damned good reason for bringing me here. I've been in some dives in my time, and this is definitely one of them. I'm almost afraid to touch anything in case I catch something. God alone knows what the booze is like here.
Actually, it's pretty good, for the price. And we're meeting here to talk because it's one of the few places where Delisle's informers wouldn't dare follow me. I've been digging into those computer files you helped me turn up.
All right, what have you found?
It's worse than we thought. Delisle and his cronies were sent here deliberately to wreck Loki's economy. Once they'd done their job and left, their bosses on Golgotha would have moved in and bought up everything at rock-bottom prices, including the colonists. To pay off their debts, they'd have had to take lifetime indentures, slaves in all but name. By the time anyone found out about it, it would have been too late to do anything.
Can they do that? I had Parliament pass a whole bunch of laws just to prevent things like that.
The law isn't much good when presented with a fait accompli. Someone would have had to sue, and there wouldn't have been anyone left on Loki able to afford the lawyers. Everything was going smoothly. No one suspected anything. They would have got away with it if the rebels hadn't made their alliance with Shub and thrown everything into chaos.
Talon must have found out about this. That's what made him desperate enough to call in Shub's forces.
Looks that way. Talon and Jax were big men in the original rebellion. Hardline idealists, heroes. It must have broken their hearts to discover it had all been for nothing.
They didn't have to go to Shub. They could have got word to Parliament. They could have come to me. I would have done something if I'd known.
You've been busy. How many people wanted to talk to you every day? And how many were turned away because there just weren't enough hours in the day to see them all? You had to pick and choose and rely on your subordinates to weed out the head cases and the time wasters. And you can bet good money that Delisle's bosses would have made sure that word never got to you one way or another.
Random sat quietly for a while. Savage sipped his wine and watched Random brood. Even sitting calm and silent, the old professional rebel still looked sharp and dangerous. If anyone could save Loki, it might be him. The murmur of hushed conversation went around the bar, rising and falling like a distant tide. Random sighed and shook his head.
I won the rebellion. Threw down the iron bitch. weakened, if not destroyed, the families. And nothing's changed. I thought when the war was over, I'd finally be allowed to retire, get some peace, some rest, put down my burden and have a life of my own at last. I should have known better. No matter how many wars you fight, another one always comes along. I thought I could remake myself, put away my warrior sword and become a politician, a man of peace. But I don't believe in politics. Never have. I believe in right and wrong, not deals and compromises.
And yet you agreed to deal with Blue Bloc. Millions would have died or been ruined if you hadn't.
Yes, I saved lives, but only by compromising everything I ever believed in. I should have stood firm, said no, and to hell with the consequences. People would have died, maybe whole worlds, but in the end we would have been rid of the families and people like Delisle forever. A fair price, perhaps. I don't know. All I know is that tomorrow I have to lead an army out to fight rebels who just might have right on their side, to protect the interests of scum like Delisle. Where's the right in that? Where's the honor? I used to be an honorable man. I was famous for it. I wonder when I lost it.
The rebels might have been justified in the beginning, but they lost all claim to the moral high ground when they called in Shub, the enemies of humanity. What good to save the world if you lose your soul in the process? They have no excuses. Everyone knows how deals with the devil work out. I've never forgotten the first footage I saw of young Jack Random and his ghost warriors in action. Rows and rows of men, women, and children crucified on metal crosses, left to die slowly as the abrasive storm winds slowly flayed them alive. I know where I stand, Sir Jack, and so does everyone else in Vidar. Even those scumbags sitting around us, making a last few desperate deals, will be with us tomorrow, sword and gun in hand, to fight the war of man against machine, even them.
I give you good odds Delisle and his cronies won't be there.
It's not their world, not really. No one expected us to survive when we first came here, let alone turn Loki into a viable colony as well as a mining world. But we did it. We were so hard. The storms of Loki just broke against us. If a whole planet couldn't defeat us, a few tin soldiers and walking corpses aren't going to do it, even if they are led by young Jack Random.
Don't you worry about him. He was never more than a flashy imitation of the real thing. I'll deal with him. And then I'll come back and deal with Delisle. I give you my word.
Jack Random's word? It's good enough for me.
Random smiled for the first time, reached across and took Savage's glass and tried some of the wine.
God, you must be tougher than you look if you can drink that stuff voluntarily.
But the smile didn't last long, and his face fell back into brooding lines, so that he looked much older than his apparent youth.
I've been here before, you know, on worlds like this. Cold Rock, Mistworld. But what Loki reminds me of most is Viramond. What used to be Owen Deathstalker's world.
The world Shub destroyed, under Valentine Wolf. I've seen the Hollow documentaries. We all have. But that's not going to happen here. We have an army.
Yes. I'm just glad Owen isn't here. It would break his heart to see another world faced with such destruction.
Savage leaned forward, his eyes shining.
What's he really like? The Deathstalker. Has he really done all the things they say he has?
Most of them, yes. You'd be surprised. If there's a single real hero to come out of the rebellion, it's him, not me. He's never compromised, never once wavered from what he believed in. The best kind of warrior, the man who never wanted to be one, but fought anyway because he believed in the rightness of his cause. I'd given up. The Empire had broken me. But he brought me back. What is he like, really? A good man in bad times. The only really honorable man I ever met.
Would he come to help us, if we asked him?
Probably. But I have no idea where he is right now. Once I would have known just by thinking about it. You were that close. But we've become distanced since then, grown apart. I gave up who I was to become somebody else. Someone I thought I was supposed to be. You don't know what I'm rambling on about, do you, Savage? But you're too polite to interrupt. It doesn't matter. Tomorrow we go out to meet the army from hell, and all problems will be decided then.
I can't wait.
Savage raised his wine glass in a toast to Random.
It will be an honor and a privilege to fight beside the legendary professional rebel.
Random looked at him sadly and said nothing.